step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We have a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. From setting a post or pouring a walkway to installing concrete block or natural stone. We've got the mix you need in stock today. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
In today's episode, the line between reality and the unknown grows a little thinner. You know those moments when something feels off? Like the room suddenly gets colder, or you swear you heard someone whisper your name when no one was around? Today we dive into unsettling, real-life paranormal encounters. From talking to persons recently passed to seeing a loved one's doppelganger, these stories come from people who swear that what they saw and felt was not of this world. So get comfortable and maybe leave a light on, just in case. This is Reddit Paranormal Encounters. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's Reddit Paranormal Encounters episode, I would love if you continue to follow along. And if you are a returning listener, hello, my friends. Welcome back. I'm so happy you're here today. I have got some creepy stories for you. You guys always seem to like these. And I just thought it would be so much fun to read these with a friend. So today I am joined by Stephanie from 13 Degrees of Screams podcast. Stephanie, say hello to all my listeners.
Hi, thank you for having me. And hello, friends, new friends.
Yes, friends, maybe old, maybe new, because you've been on the show before.
Yeah, maybe. It's been a little bit, but yeah.
Yes, Stephanie was on with her co-host Alex for my Anne Hamilton Byrne cults episode. And then I was recently on y'all's show. Do you want to talk about that for a second?
Yeah, Kadra was on with us on 13 Degrees of Screams on our YouTube channel for Jordan Peele's Us movie review. We had lots of fun insight. Kadra brought her own research too, so she did her homework for the episode. We had such a great discussion. Definitely go check it out if you can.
Yeah, you guys know how I am. I always got to come with my research. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoy that movie. And yeah, if you guys haven't seen Us, you should. And then go listen to this discussion because it was very insightful and also really fun to listen back to. And I learned some new things. So yeah. Well, Stephanie, should we get into these creepy stories?
Yeah, I'm ready. I can't wait.
This first story comes from Reddit user ParkingMaster2711. My brother saw something terrifying at my dad's work, a funeral home, when we were kids. So this didn't happen to me directly, but to my brother when we were little. It's one of those stories that still gives my family and everyone chills. My dad went to mortuary school and worked as a funeral director when we were growing up. Sometimes my mom would take us to visit him at work or pick him up for lunch. It wasn't spooky or anything. It looked just like a small church with an office and chapel area. We were never around any of the bodies or the prep rooms. Anyway, one day when I was around 7 and my brother was just 4, we were playing around the building and my mom was talking to my dad. My brother ran off for a bit, and when he came back, he looked visibly terrified. Later, he told us he opened a door and saw a young boy lying on a table. The boy suddenly rose up in flames, and he said he turned evil. We were super young, so we didn't really understand what my dad actually did for a living. My parents told us years later that there actually was a young boy's body at the funeral home that day. And my mom, who doesn't mess around with ghost stories, said it genuinely scared her too. It's something my brother swears really happened, and even now, my mom gets freaked out talking about it. End quote.
Well, yikes. Okay. Well, for starters, bring in your kids to the funeral home just to play around. You know, see what's up there.
I think it's one of those things where it's like the longer you're in that environment, you probably become really desensitized to it. So then it like feels normal to have your family around. But at the same time, like it sounds like they were never allowed in those rooms. But the detail about the fire,
yeah,
is what gets me, and the boy being evil.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he wasn't
evil before he set on fire and you just saw a dead child, assuming, and then fire and now evil. And oh,
you know what it reminds me of is that really famous scene in Supernatural when the wife is up on the ceiling and gets set on fire.
Yeah, they love playing that one.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The flashbacks over and over.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know what this is about, but it's such a unique story. It really stuck out to me. And anytime anything takes place in a funeral home, it's extra creepy.
Right. Honestly, I'm still just trying to get over the fact of just normalizing bringing kids to play at a funeral home. It seems very My Girl. Like, I don't know if you ever saw the My Girl movie with Macaulay Culkin and my glasses and the bees and stuff. But yeah, like she was so desensitized from her father's work. And I was like, this is some sort of test, right? To normalize it for them.
Yeah. And they're just kids. And I think they even make a comment like, yeah, we didn't really understand back then. And when you're a kid, you don't understand death either. But it would certainly freak you out to see a body.
Yeah, for sure. And thinking of like going to funerals when you're a little kid, it's basically just a lot of people standing around and on nice couches. So
very true.
Yeah. So I guess if you don't see a body, you don't put two and two together. But yeah, I think maybe not having them be aware at all might have really traumatized him, because who's to say that he actually caught fire and it was just such a shocking thing that he was like, and then he got evil and then he was on fire. You know, like when your imagination blows things out of proportion. I especially think back for when I was a little kid and have trouble trying to determine what was a dream and what was like actual fact, because sometimes I'll relay stories to my parents and they'll be like, we don't remember this at all. You're our only kid. We didn't like screw up our kids and misplace one of them or forget a story or something. That didn't happen.
I think that's what's hard about stories like this is you wonder, okay, did they actually see something paranormal? And kids are also really sensitive to things like that. But at the same time, they have such wild imaginations. But like me, all of the paranormal experiences that I like know that I had happened when I was a child. So it's hard because you don't want to discount, but at the same time, you know, who knows?
Yeah. And I don't want to like discredit anyone's personal experiences. I haven't had very much experience in my like adolescence or, you know, things that I couldn't like talk away. So that's why I'm always here to rationalize.
No, that's good. That's good. Well, I'm curious what you'll think about this next story, because it involves a mimic, which is one of my biggest fears. I hate mimics.
Yeah.
I don't have this Reddit user's name. They deleted their account, but they say, quote, I just realized I lived with a mimic for almost 20 years. I don't find this to be scary, but after watching many videos, I realized what must have happened to me during all of those years. So in 2003, we moved into this house with my parents, a 30-year-old house in the city in front of a primary school. There was also the nearby hospital, a 5-minute walk. I never saw it as a home because I always felt like I was being watched. Sometimes I would be in my room and I would hear my mom asking for me. I would answer before realizing that I was all alone. I remember way too well one afternoon when I was alone. I had just come back from school and was having a snack. In the kitchen, there is a retaining wall. It was very slim because one side of it was the passage to get into the dining table and the other side was an open counter. So, as I said, I was in the kitchen getting a snack when I turned around and I saw my dad's smiling face. He was hiding his body behind the wall and all I could see was his smile. I jumped and said, "Ugh, you had me there." And when I blinked, the face was gone. Its eyes were completely white. I thought I had hallucinated. Things continued happening until I moved out. I didn't forget anything, but I always was blaming it on my creative mind until last summer. I was sitting with my sister talking about stuff, including our parents' new home. And she asked me if I ever liked the old house. Turns out, she saw things when she was living there too. She also heard a couple of strange things, which is why she moved out of the house at 18. The house did not feel safe. End quote.
Okay, well, I can't rationalize this one if two people had separate experiences and then didn't tell each other about it in the time and years later discuss it and then like, oh, yeah, you too.
Right. And I like scared myself last night when I was like proofreading these. The detail of the dad's smiling face and yeah. you can just picture it like
right?
just creeping behind the wall. It reminds me of the movie Smile where he's just smiles a little too big, white eyes. That's straight out of a horror movie.
It almost sounds like a demonic version of like the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland, just kind of like that smile and the eyes fading into like a solid object. That's kind of what I picture. But I wasn't that familiar with mimics. I was trying to recall in non-D&D terms what a mimic really was.
Yeah, I haven't done an episode on them, but I have done a doppelganger episode. And the main thing with mimics is that they're known to mimic the people you love and they can take on different forms. So some people say they can take on more of a demonic form, which is different than the way doppelgangers are described. But other than that, they're very similar. And a lot of the people who see them, it's like there's just one detail about the quote unquote person they know that's a little bit off. And then they'll often mimic the person's voice to do what we don't really know. Some people are like, oh, it's trying to lure you out or it's trying to manipulate you into doing something it wants you to do.
Right. So. Like in stories when you hear like a person calling your name from the woods, but you know, they're definitely not in the woods.
Exactly. Yeah. So it sounds like this person is like attributing the fake mother's voice that they were hearing to this entity that looked like their dad that they saw. Very creepy.
Yeah. That's super unsettling. I don't know. I'm not comfortable with that.
No. I've told this story on the podcast before, but my friend Alicia from Truly Twisted has a mimic in her apartment, and she has had quite a few experiences with it, including one that she didn't know she had. She sent me a Snapchat video, and I could like audibly hear this man's voice in the background. I immediately responded like, "This is really creepy. What did you just send me?" And she was like, "Kadra, I swear to God, no one's in the house. I didn't have a TV on or anything." And it was like, you couldn't tell what it was saying, but it was a man's voice. And then she told me that she's had multiple encounters, like where it like pulls her hair, all kinds of creepy shit. And
she needs to get out of there immediately.
Yeah, girl, get out of there. I know. I don't know how she's still living there because that it would take one time for me to be like, and we're done. We're subleasing or something.
I'm calling the police.
I'm supposed to see her for a crime con soon. So That'll be, I'll get an update from her.
Yeah.
Okay. This next story is from Reddit user party-1-8712. And for context, this person works in law enforcement, and I'm going to read two stories that they have posted. So this first one is called Spoke with a Deceased Woman on a Police Call. I once had to call a family to notify them their family member had passed. It really freaked me out. The woman had been involved in a fatal car accident a few miles away from her home. When I arrived, I met a woman near the roadway just inside the property gate. She said she heard me coming from miles away. I asked her if she lived at the residence, which she confirmed she did. After asking her to speak with me at the house, she agreed, saying she would walk there and meet me. The house was just about 75 yards away from the road. After I arrived at the house, I approached the front door on a small wooden porch and began scanning the driveway for the woman I had just talked to. It was about 1 a.m. and completely dark. While looking for this woman, the front door opened and a younger woman appeared. She was concerned about my presence and asked if everything was okay. I asked if I could speak with her, and I also asked if any other adults were at home. She welcomed me in, and I told her I would wait for the woman I had just talked to near the gate. She told me nobody else should be home right now. I then freaked out and began searching the property, but obviously I found nothing. After entering the residence, I told her and her husband the news about, let's call her Susan, which ended up being this younger woman's mother. She said her mother, Susan, moved into the home a few months back after her husband had recently passed away. She had not been handling his death very well. And while she and her husband were comforting one another about this tragic news, I began looking at the photos on the wall. There was a picture of a middle-aged woman that stuck out to me. She was like a younger version of the woman I had talked to near the gate. While looking at the picture, the daughter confirmed that this was her mother, Susan, the woman that had just passed away in the wreck. End quote.
I'm trying to visualize all of that. Okay. So younger woman approaches him at the gate, says, like, follow me to this house. And she is not there anymore. Somebody else that's related comes out. Okay. And then pictures of an older version of her are on the wall when he goes inside. And it's the mom. All right. I just wonder what she's up to. Like, did she think that they were in danger? Or is this like a how spirits kind of repeat action sometimes, like they get stuck in a loop where they keep on having to repeat the same thing over and over again?
Yeah. Well, that's something that comes up a lot in doppelganger stories, is that people will often see a doppelganger right after that person has passed away.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that that happened. I thought they usually existed one in one kind of thing.
That I just remember that being a detail I didn't know when I researched it, but I did this episode a while back. And I mean, those sightings go back really, really far. And there were stories of like people whose husbands passed away at sea in like the 1700s. And they had like all these people seeing his spirit in the living room when they didn't know he had just passed away at sea. You know, things like that where it's like, It just makes you question how much of our body is a physical body, how much our spirit is attached to that, and like those kind of time glitches. It's really interesting.
Right. Because I don't know. I didn't think since she had passed, and I assumed even from the beginning this woman was dead that he was talking to, that I didn't really think about the possibility of her actually being a doppelganger, just because I didn't know that they existed past someone being dead to duplicate.
And I mean, it could also just be the ghost, you know, of this woman, or it could be that they have some type of like spiritual sensitivity and they were sensing that something was there, you know, but
yeah,
it's certainly creepy. And it sounds like this person has had a lot of experiences. I know that they like say in some of their posts that they went on to like do, I think, like a YouTube channel or something, because they've worked in law enforcement and had so many paranormal experiences, just weird things over the years. And so I'll put the links to these stories down in the show notes if anyone's curious, but they do have a second story that I'm going to read.
Okay.
Have you ever seen something creepy and you didn't share it because you felt no one would believe you? When I first started my law enforcement career, I was placed on an evening shift. part of our responsibility was to lock the gates of our city's cemetery. The cemetery is one of the oldest in the area and has a notoriously eerie reputation, sitting in a less than nice part of town. One night, as I approached the first of the three large gates, I always made it a point to turn on my alley light and scan the area with my spotlight to ensure it was completely empty before leaving. After a quick check around revealed nothing, I stepped out to lock the gate. As I was fumbling with the lock, trying to remember the code, I looked up and froze. About 50 feet away, partially leaning against a tombstone, stood a woman with a blank expression. Her clothing looked outdated, and she did not seem to be of a solid form. I called out to her, but she did not move. After struggling to remove the chain and pushing the gate open, she vanished. I immediately called a close friend from another district to come check the area, but there was no sign of the woman. I downplayed what I saw, not wanting to scare him or sound ridiculous, but years later, I brought it up again, and I learned I was not the only officer who had encountered this woman. End quote.
You saw a ghost. That's
yeah.
a ghost.
No, just a trespasser. Just a very crafty trespasser.
A crafty trespasser who likes Victorian clothing and
yes.
has the ability to be translucent.
Yes, they're cosplaying Bridgerton out in the cemetery.
Obviously.
Yeah, that's freaky too, that like multiple officers have had that experience that and didn't warn him, I guess, too, when he goes down there to lock up the gates. Yeah, like, by the way, you might see old so-and-so leaning on the
yeah, if you see old Bridget, don't mind her, she hangs out there every night.
Yeah, no, she don't pay her no mind.
It also makes me wonder in stories like this, if it's more of a residual haunting, like is the ghost even aware that you're there, or are they just like we were talking about the last encounter? Are they just kind of playing back the same memory
yeah,
over and over again?
Right. Right. I'm trying to think of the story, too. I'm sure you are familiar with it, but I know BTB covered it at one point. A woman getting into a taxi, but she was dead, asked to go home. And then as soon as the taxi passed the cemetery where she was buried, her ghost like disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think of the name for it, but I don't recall at this point. But
well, so there's a lot of stories of like vanishing hitchhikers. So there's yeah. definitely ones like that. And then a long time ago, like early on in the podcast, but still one of my favorite ghost stories is the there's an Unsolved Mysteries episode about it. It's called The Ghost of the Tsunami. It was after this hurricane in Japan. I can't remember what hurricane it was, but it was like around 2011, where these taxi cab drivers after the hurricane kept reporting passengers getting in, and they were getting really pissed off because they're running up this tab and then the passenger would just disappear.
Yeah.
Hey, like, you know, I'm trying to go home and blah, 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 and give them an address. And then they'd just poof.
Yeah, I guess I could imagine why they would be pissed. like I've been scammed by a ghost again.
But see, that's interesting too. We keep coming back to this playthrough that ghosts will do over and over, that residual nature, but it's also creepy to think about in those cases, then they're able to interact with the physical environment too. Like yeah. they're getting into a car.
Right. But then there's also sort of like a limitation though too, because not being able, I'm assuming maybe she can't leave the cemetery. Like she's stuck in that boundary for some reason. And yeah. maybe when he tried to come and get to her, I don't know, messed up the lines of the boundary. Maybe she was right on the line or something.
Oh, true. And maybe that's why the passengers disappear. It's like they yeah. get past a certain boundary.
Yeah.
So scary.
Yeah. I just can never figure out like all of the rules that go into it, but there's so many fun theories to think about.
I feel like you don't hear about ghost Uber passengers very much.
Yeah, well, they can't call them on the app, so I guess that's why.
That'd be crazy because a lot of them have cameras in their cars
yeah.
now.
Yeah, true. Until like our generation dies off, then we'll keep our Uber apps going and stuff.
There you
on
go.
Our phones, yeah.
yeah. Or we're all going to have, hopefully not, but I'll have Teslas or self-driving cars that
have there you go.
Random beings getting into them.
Right. Another one that doesn't have anybody in it.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This next story comes from a very gross username, Reddit user tasty-toe-2397.
I'm sorry. Okay. All right.
Come on.
Be serious.
Yeah. Okay. Getting serious now.
Yeah. Put some respect on the name.
I can't believe I actually saw a ghost the other night with my own eyes. Before I read this, I will say this one is pretty creepy. I was going to the store about 10:30 p.m. when my car overheated. I live in a very rural area. I pulled over, letting the car cool down and checking the radiator. Eventually, I drove a couple more miles, but then the same thing happened again. At this point, it was after midnight, and I wasn't too far away from my house, a 1.5 mile walk. It was a pretty night, just a little chilly, so I decided instead of risking hurting the car, I would just hoof it. The road I live on is a very rough, mountainous road made of dirt. I began walking down the two-lane highway, then two-thirds or so down the dirt road. There was enough moonlight to where I didn't need a flashlight. Then I saw something coming up a neighbor's driveway, and I heard faint steps on the gravel to my left. My first thought was, shit, one of my neighbors heard me or saw me walking down our road in the middle of the night, and they think I'm probably messing around casing houses. At any moment, I expected to see a flashlight, a gun, or a combination of the two, and be asked some questions. But then I realized what I was seeing. There was a man walking towards me, except I could see through him. It was kind of like a predator. It had taken on the texture of the surrounding trees, but as it got closer, it was very much a man. He had a little bigger build, wearing what I thought was a plaid lumberjack-style shirt and denim pants. He had longer hair, kind of like Theo Vaughn.
Sorry, I just...
you know, details matter, but kind of took me out a little bit.
Yeah, so random. He walked out of the driveway within about 30 feet of me. Then he walked parallel to me for about 100 feet along this split rail wooden fence. When I got to the end of the fence, he just stopped. He put his arm up on the fence, staring at me. I didn't say a word. I just kept walking, but I could feel the hair on my head standing on its end. The look that he had seemed to be sad. Or like he wanted to tell me something, but he couldn't find his voice. The next morning, I was in the kitchen telling my dad about it. He looked at me skeptically, but then he wanted to know exactly where this had happened. Suddenly, it dawned on me. I remembered him telling me about a year ago, before I moved back in, trigger warning, suicide, that one of the neighbors he barely knew had killed himself in that house down the driveway where that split rail fence is. Up until that night, I thought paranormal activity was outright BS. But then I saw a ghost. End quote.
Well, tasty toe person, you're an excellent writer aside from the Theo Vaughn mention, but
yeah, I know. It's like, oh, Theo Vaughn, come on now.
Yeah, but he had a good like start and finish, so yeah.
But you can like picture this person too. Yeah. I do feel like it helps kind of knowing what they look like, but I can like visualize, I want to say him, but it's more of an it, like walking along beside him for 100 feet, not saying anything, and how creepy that would be.
Yeah, I'm hung up on the texture he mentioned about taking in like the surroundings around him. That makes it sound like a skinwalker to me, but I don't think it would be as chill if that was the case. I don't think he would have just stopped the fence post and let him go.
I'm like going back now. I didn't think about that, but he does say it's like a predator.
just the staring and the, but then you said it seemed more forlorn at the end. So I don't know, at least from beginning to middle, I'm like, that's a skinwalker, please.
Yeah.
Don't well, interact. Don't engage.
I believe there are a lot of stories of skinwalkers having like a great deal of sorrow. Like they're known to be very melancholy also. That does make me wonder. And maybe it was like this neighbor who had completed suicide, but then I don't know, maybe he turned into a skinwalker or something, who knows, but it's very unsettling for sure. I don't know where exactly this happened, but it being such a rural area, that's such a hard word to say.
Right. No,
it could be.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking either maybe Appalachian.
Yeah. That's Appalachian? The vibe I'm getting. Yeah. Yeah, it does sound like deep woods Appalachia.
Yeah.
And then they've got like the plaid shirt, a ghost in a plaid lumberjack shirt.
Yes, something like that. I don't know. Whenever there's a long trail in these kind of stories, I'm like, yeah, probably in Appalachia.
Well, I have one more story for you.
Oh, okay.
So this final story comes from anxious_inflation_93. My husband came home twice today. So my husband came home at 1:55 p.m. I was sitting at my computer in the living room. I had a straight view to the front door. My husband was supposed to not be home until 5 o'clock. So when I heard him opening the door, I was busy writing on my computer and talking to my friend on the phone, so I didn't look at the door at first. I was just listening to the sound of someone coming in. I thought, that couldn't be my husband. He's not supposed to be home. So I figured it was my mom. But the sounds sounded like my husband. So I looked up from the screen and I saw him hunched down by the door. Then I turned and looked back towards the computer screen. When I looked back again, he was standing at the dinner table, removing his jacket and his motorcycle suit as he always does. Although he did still have his helmet on, which he normally doesn't do. But I was busy, so I looked back at the computer again. From the corner of my eye, I saw him go up the stairs without saying a word. He had been sick the last couple days, and I was talking with my friend on the phone, so I thought he didn't speak a word because he was sick and had to go home early from work. I figured he was just going to go lay down. An hour later, I had to ask my son about something, and their rooms are right next to each other. So after talking to my son, I checked on my husband, and he was lying in the bed, sleeping. I went downstairs and continued working on the computer. At 5:10 p.m., I went out to have a cigarette in our shed when I heard a motorcycle driving into our driveway. And lo and behold, it was my husband, returning from work. I was flabbergasted and I told him what I had experienced. He said he had been at work all day. I remembered my son was down in the living room when my husband came home. So I ran up to my son and I asked him, did Dad not come home earlier? I thought for sure he would say no, but he said yes. End quote.
Well, there's a stranger up in your bed. You gotta do something about that.
Like, sorry, what the fuck?
Like, don't confirm with the son. Like, get a baseball bat and get this man out of there. Like, he's sleeping in your bed.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know. Sometimes these kinds of stories like perplex me because, perplexity. You got me. But I don't know. I feel like my husband would call me if he was on the way home from work sick or something like that, or text me. So I feel like you'd have some sort of indicator, but I know everyone's relationship's different.
Yeah. I've never heard a story like that where the thing is around for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So the detail that sticks out to me is the fact that she went up to the bedroom and it was in there sleeping. I thought that it was going to be like, and I went up and nobody was there, but
right.
It was sleeping.
Yeah, I can't think of the specific story, but I heard a similar one of a woman whose husband was leaving the house to go to the gym and then came back into the house 5 minutes later. It wasn't him. And her actual husband came back like an hour or so later. And she was like, weren't you just back? And he's like, no, I've been gone an hour and a half. But he just kind of like walk through the house, went out to the garage or something, and then no more.
See, no, that's so creepy. And it's always loved ones that people will report seeing. And that just makes me wonder what it is. Or like, when you see something like that, do you think it's like a glitch? Do you think it's your spiritual being like connecting to them in some way? It's like trying to tell you something's going to happen to them. Like, what is that?
Right. Yeah. Cause isn't there an instance too, that if you see a loved one's doppelganger, that there's a chance that they might pass soon?
Yeah. Or? It's like a bad omen sometimes, or a death omen.
Okay. Yeah. I thought so.
Yeah.
Oh. If her husband hadn't come home, though, was it going to wait upstairs for her? Like, I want confirmation. Is he still there? Like,
yeah.
Like, was he still in the bed? Like, don't go confirm with the son. Is he still there in the bed? Because then you have two and two. Like,
that would be crazy. She's like, it's like, he's still there. And she's like, so what do we do now? Get to work. Go do
so
the
now
dishes.
There's two of them.
Like, yeah. Put him to work. Make him go do some chores or something.
Yeah, right.
At least be useful.
Yeah, exactly. Got another mouth to feed here? What?
Well, those are my Reddit paranormal encounters, a batch for everybody today. And Stephanie, I hope you enjoyed those creepy stories.
Yeah, definitely. I regret sitting in the dark for this.
I know, it's like progressively getting darker and darker in my office too as the sun's going down, and I'm like, ooh, it's a little spooky in here.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll just, as soon as we get off the phone here, I will turn all the lights on and everything will be cool.
There you go. Hey, I did say at the beginning, maybe leave a light on just in case.
Exactly. Just tying it all in.
Stephanie, would you like to tell everybody about you and Alex and where everyone can find your awesome show?
Sure. So my co-host Alex and I review horror movies on our YouTube channel, 13 Degrees of Screams. And you can also listen to the audio version anywhere you get your podcast. We kind of sit down, talk about anything from like the plot. We get into some theories sometimes, talk about whether or not a slasher has franchise potential, anything that you can think of, really. And then we do it against our scary rating scale to determine how scary it is. So if you'd like to check us out, we'd love to have you.
Yes, it's lots of fun. And I've been on their show twice. So if you guys want to check those out, we discussed the movie Tarot a while back. And then, like Stephanie was saying, on the YouTube channel, we talked about Jordan Peele's Us, and they do a great job over there. I always love how you guys add in the movie clips and everything. That's really, really cool. You have a great job with all of your effects.
Thank you. We try.
Well, that, everybody, is today's episode, all about Reddit paranormal encounter stories, and I hope you enjoyed them. If you did, be sure to let me know. If you're watching on YouTube, you can like this video, subscribe, drop a comment down below. What do you think about these stories? Do you have any theories? Which was your favorite? Have you ever seen a doppelganger? Let me know. And if you're listening on Spotify, you can leave a comment on this exact episode. We can have a little chit chat. It's lots of fun. And as always, if you want to support the show further, you can leave a 5-star review. You can go check out the Perplexed Society, patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. I have another round of documentary coverage coming out soon. We're going to talk about Son of Sam, which was requested. And then I'm also going to start doing some installations about the Epstein files. So if that interests you, go check out patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Stephanie, thank you again. Thanks for letting me do my whole spiel just now.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
Lots of fun.
Something different, definitely.
Yeah, lots of fun. And Stephanie was very kind to do this very last minute. I just moved to a new apartment and I just have not had much time at all to like do any research or cases. So we threw this together and Stephanie was very accommodating. So thank you again. And her links will be in the show notes. So go support them and tell them where you found them. As always, you all are amazing. I hope you have a great week. Please stay safe, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Perfect.
Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast, is hosted, written, and produced by me, Kadra Brannon. This show is proud to be a part of the Black Cat Network. Assistant editor is Charlie Leopold. Theme song by Patrick Thompson. All music used in this episode is from Pixabay. If you like the show, be sure to share it with others and leave a 5-star rating and review. Contact, support, and merch links can be found in the episode description. To unlock early ad-free episodes and exclusive bonus content, join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Listener stories, topic requests, and business inquiries can be submitted to perplexitymysterypodcast.com or emailed to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. Until next week, stay curious.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.